from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
My main man, Will Z, rocking with me right now. And Will was telling me something about how he went camping for 4th of July. And I just got to ask the question. So, like, are you, like, really camping? Like, I pinched the tent. And on the bottom of the tent is like the dirt, right? Like underneath it. I mean, not like you're sleeping on the dirt, but you don't go glamping. See, that's what I would do, man. I can't sleep in a tent. I'm gonna be in an RV.
Yeah, we do the tent. This time we were with Hannah's parents, who they have an RV, so it's kind of nice because we don't have to bring the whole like stove and the whole setup.
Yeah.
But we do tent. We have a sleeping pad that we throw down, and especially with the baby, we have to get a little creative, but we just put her in the middle between us, and generally she loves it, but this time it was a little too warm for her.
So it was hot out there, even like in those, you know, situations where, like, I'm assuming like you're close to some water or river or something like that, it was still pretty hot out there, huh?
Yeah. It just never cooled down as much as it should have. I should have taken the rain cover off and just had it open, but I'm not going out to do that at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I ain't mad at you on that one. I ain't doing that. Yeah. I ain't trying to do nothing at 3 o'clock in the morning but sleep. Yep. That's all I'm trying to do. Will Z in the building. I asked Jesse to remind me of something, and you know, Will, I have you here as well. We'll get into the DeMar DeRozan situation, but you know, look, I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm not a mean guy. I don't go seeking out confrontation or seeking out being rude to anybody. So I held back on a tweet that I had over the weekend. And I just need to know, before I say anything, did it get better? And what I'm referring to is, I saw that pathetic crowd at the Chase Center on Saturday.
Ooh.
Did it get better? Did more people show up as time? Because I said, I'm not going to do that right now. It's the Kings and the Lakers. Maybe people will show up later. Even though if Bronny was here at the Golden 1 Center making his debut, it would have been a nice little crowd, unlike what we saw there. But did it get better? Do either one of you guys know if it got better as the night went on at the Chase Center?
I didn't see, but I mean, has it ever gotten better at the Chase Center?
Oh, that's a good point. It's a damn shame.
Get the tweets off, bro.
I mean, come on, man. I saw my guys.
I give him the benefit of the doubt with it being at the very beginning of the game. But, yeah, I had that question, too. I was trying to tell. I couldn't tell with the camera angle on if people funneled in or not.
Tragic. I saw my boys, Vontae Hill, Guru. You know what I'm saying? I saw them at the game. Shout out to them. You know, look, hey. They don't love hoop like that. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just saying. And then look in the comments, because people was kind of roasting them. Like I said, I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to roast them. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I ain't going to say nothing. But then they were like, you know, the Bay Area is such a beautiful place. There's so many things to do. We ain't trying to hear all that. If there's so many things to do, then get that the damn summer league out of there, because we don't need all that. All right. We need basketball and basketball fans. So look, You know, I don't know if it got any better or not. I'm just saying I observed it, and I did not press send on my tweet. I gave them grace. Don't say I never did nothing for them. There was that. So
that's incredible.
So Will Z, let's get down to the nuts and bolts, mm-hmm. man. DeMar DeRozan is a Sacramento King. Just take me through the initial thoughts when it happened, like how you felt about DeMar when it went down.
So the whole time I've been doing the graphics with all the stats and the wish list stuff for pretty much all offseason. And the first thing I do is I'll put everything together in a spreadsheet, of course, but then I'll go through and mark who I think is a good fit for the Kings. And generally I leave off the best of the best free agents. Mm-hmm. And to me, DeMar was one of those. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that as a realistic option. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to put out numbers and talk about it as a realistic option. So that to me right there is the fact that the Kings were able to get someone in that top tier of free agency is just so huge. And something where I think a lot of Kings fans, I didn't know about the fit. I just bringing him in with the team that they have. I think we're all kind of thinking more of a defensive minded, taller wing, like a Kyle Kuzma or just someone with that size. But when you look at DeMar and what he's done in his career and just even last year, he's just so good at what he does. And he fills so many gaps that the Kings have on their roster that the more I thought about it, the more excited I got. And going to bed on Friday night before the news broke on Saturday, I think is how the days went down.
Yeah.
It was so hard because I was amped up at that point. I was like, let's do it. Let's go. I'm hyped.
Man, I had some of the same concerns. I thought maybe they're universal as far as I wanted to make sure that they kept their identity of being a 3-point shooter, and even the way the game is played nowadays, being able to have a starting lineup full of 3-point shooters, I think is just beneficial to a guy like De'Aaron Fox. But the more that I saw DeMar DeRozan play and highlights and stuff like that, and started to think about his potential fit with this team, I feel like it's going to work magically. And some of the things I saw, and let me know if it's some of the things that you saw as well, Will, is he is going to kind of fit into the Harrison role maybe, but be a better version of what Harrison was able to execute last year. And I talk about some of the stuff that they do in the mid post, that they do at the high post, and 15, 16, 17 feet away. And he's going to be right there. And that's his office right there. That wasn't necessarily Harrison's office. It maybe if he was wide open. But DeMar, he can do these things with a guy on him, a guy draped on him. He can post him up, fade away, do whatever, rise and fire, get to the cup. There's so many things he could do from his office. And I just think that's going to make the Kings potentially lethal on the offensive end.
Yeah, because we saw it with everyone says it. When Monk went down, we saw that they needed that. And some numbers to back it up on why they needed it. So NBA.com, they have assisted and unassisted field goals. Mm-hmm. So if you look at DeMar DeRozan last season, 65.2% of his field goals were unassisted. Compared to every other player in the Kings, the only person who had more, to no surprise, is De'Aaron Fox at 67.5%. Mm-hmm. When you do the math, which I did for everyone, I don't expect you all to do math. Thank you. Do it for you. Yeah, DeRozan, 424 total unassisted field goals last season. Fox was at 486. The second highest on the Kings was Sabonis at 239. So less than half of what Fox was at. Mm. Then you have Monk third at 165, and no one else was over 100.
Mm.
So you have Fox, again, 486, Sabonis 239, Monk 165. And you see that there's that huge drop-off of just being able to go get your own bucket, just off a dribble, off whatever you can create on your own, that Fox has that clearly. Sabonis has that somewhat in the low post. Mm-hmm. And then Monk, I think I was a little surprised at how low his numbers are. I think that's partly due to him being out with injury and his minutes just not being as high and him passing more out of his creation. Mm-hmm. But when you have two players who can go get buckets at any certain time, that's really hard to stop. And you see it with all the fourth quarter scoring, all the clutch scoring, the numbers that have been thrown around. And it's just a lethal combination of both Fox and DeRozan. And then you throw in Monk with that ability as well. And you're seeing the team really take shape of fortifying its strengths, but also diversifying how it can score.
Mm. Kennedy approves as well. She definitely does. Approves.
She's a big DeRozan fan. Oh, yeah.
Man, and it's just it feels like it makes him so dynamic. And one of the things that I like about DeRozan as well, and that suffered when Muck went out and, you know, towards the end of the season, is he gets to the bucket and he gets to the line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's something that maybe you have the numbers. I know percentage-wise, people, you know, talked about how they didn't make their free throws. The Kings talked about how they didn't make their free throws. But even getting to the line, do you think, like, that there's a big upgrade what DeMar can bring to the table? And if you have it in front of you, where were they were just in free throw attempts last year? Were they bad or were
Let me grab that.
Because it feels
I know
like
they were down, I think, compared to the previous year, but I'm pulling it up now. I do know DeRozan, 7.7 free throw attempts per game, which was fifth in the NBA, and he shot them at a 85.3% clip, which is exactly what you want. Like, you can't really ask for much more than that.
Right.
So for the Kings, in terms of attempts last season, they were at 20.9, which was tied for 20th in the league. So we'll probably see that go up, and the percentage will go up as well. Again, last in the league at 74.5. I had more fun with math, which is everyone have fun with math. Just once.
I don't have only time I have fun with math is when I'm counting money.
All right, we'll take it. Yeah, I'll take that. So I did a hypothetical where I just added, like, super simple, just added all of DeMar DeRozan's free throws to the Kings totals from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not a perfect. It's a very hypothetical because you're going to lose some. Some things will change. But if you do that, then the Kings' free throw percentage jumps to 77.3%, which would have ranked 19th in the league. And it's exactly what Fox was talking about in the postseason press conferences, mm-hmm. where if they make some more free throws, they're going to win some more games.
Yeah.
And without adding someone like DeRozan, who has not only the volume but the accuracy, to me, that was the only way the Kings were going to become a better free throw shooting team,
mm-hmm.
because you're having Fox and Sabonis last year were the main guys getting to the line, and they're both average to below average, give or take, at the line. So you needed someone to come in, I think, to really bump up both the percentage and the attempts, because Barnes, great free throw shooter, but he was getting 2 to 3, maybe. I know the numbers were down last year in the attempts.
Right.
So I think we'll see a big jump in the free throw attempts and made, which should make a lot of Kings fans, especially, I know you, Kenny, much happier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you real quick, what was the percentage from the free throw? Like, where did they rank percentage wise from the free throw line last season?
Last by a wide margin.
So,
yeah.
So DeMar DeRozan, obviously an inexact science, but DeMar DeRozan alone would, and that's not like even accounting for people actually shooting better, improving their free throws, mm-hmm. or whatever. Just him alone gets them to 19th, which,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't tell me they're not in the playoffs if there's 19th in the league in free throw shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's close games. Sometimes 3 points is all that you need.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I'm getting hyped up, man. Will Z from Will Z Stats here on D'Lo and KC, man. And, you know, we talked about DeMar being here and what he does just on his own. There has been rumblings reported by our guy James Hamm that the Kings might not be done, that they're still looking elsewhere and looking to improve this roster still. Is there, now that you have DeRozan here, mm-hmm. does that change the type of player that you would want to come in for the Kings via trade or something like that? Or is it still, you know, one of those Kuzma, one of those guys you mentioned earlier when we started this process?
I don't know. I get a little nervous with Kuzma now, but then I think sometimes it's the whole concept of having too much talent is never a bad thing. Like, I'd rather have more talent than less talent, and you just figure it out on the court.
Right.
But to me, it seems like just a peripheral move is kind of the way to go at this point, where if you can get someone to just come in and be a super solid defender, then maybe that's all that this roster kind of needs, and then you see where you're at and tweak it. I also don't hate the idea of keeping Herder, because everyone is saying we need more shooting now, which I don't think shooting will be an issue with DeRozan. I know he doesn't shoot threes, but he can still space the floor in terms of how he can play off the catch, and it's not like he's going to get left alone on an island. But I don't hate the idea of keeping Herder and then reevaluating at the trade deadline too. But someone like Isaiah Stewart, Beef Stew, he's been thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of my favorite guys are off the market at this point, but Kyle Madsen brought someone up this morning. KJ Martin, I really like. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have someone who's like that super athletic player who is just going to go and dunk it and be able to make plays that just need that pure athleticism. I think that Metu filled that role really well for them two seasons ago in the dunker spot, and that they need someone like that who is just going to be able to be in the right spot, be a good cutter. Yeah. KJ Martin 2 years ago had 173 dunks. That was seventh in the league. So, like, he can get up. Monk loves to throw lobs. So I've looked around. I can't find exactly who it would be, but like a backup four or backup five who can go be a true lob threat, I think would be so great for Monk. We saw, again, the concept with JaVale McGee last season, but I don't think it worked in actuality. But you see that concept of having someone who can set a pick for Monk and roll and catch a lob. It's right there. So can you find someone who can do that with him? KJ Martin's a little, he's more of a like wing guard than is ideal for that spot. But to me, I'm looking more at the peripherals, maybe bring in a backup four or five, another shooter, someone to space the floor and do a true five out offense when Sabonis is out. But I don't know. I get nervous about doing another move just to make a move.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Yeah, I understand you on that one. I like that KJ Martin idea. I didn't hear that from Kyle earlier, but I really like that idea. And particularly, see, this is where I look at a guy like KJ Martin, or I look at a guy like Jaden McDaniels, and I say, let me see what Mike Brown can do with this guy. This athletic guy has some size on him. And if Mike Brown could teach him and mold him into the defender that he believes he could be, or get the best out of him that way, that is super intriguing. And a guy like KJ Martin would fit the bill with that. You know what I mean? Like, get him here with Mike Brown, and he may not be a starter. I'm not saying that. But somebody that is a rotational guy who can guard on the perimeter, and he already has natural offensive ability and offensive skills, you may find a diamond in the rough. I mean, I think this guy is more skilled than either one of those two players. But that's kind of what we're talking about, what they did with Andrew Wiggins the year they won a championship. Guy with Mike Brown, and he kind of molded him into the defender that team needed. And I would love to see Mike Brown take that challenge with KJ Martin or Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah. Both. And McDaniels is someone else who really intrigues me. I'm trying not to get my hopes up. It feels kind of like Duarte last year, maybe a little less. But he's another one where if it works, great. If not, you're not really losing anything because they use the space accordingly. Yeah. But it's another player. You kind of just throw some options out there. And if it works, it's a bit of a steal because everyone's looking for those lengthy defenders.
Yeah.
And if he can be anything close to what he was 2 years ago on Charlotte, then that's a heck of a get.
Yeah, for sure. What's your thoughts on, and I think it could be a little bit of an underrated signing, what's your thoughts on Jordan McLaughlin, man? I like him
with
Minnesota, and I like him as a backup point guard. I felt this thing, everybody's talking about, oh, no more guards, no more guards. It's like, nah, I think you need a backup point guard, and that's an interesting get. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I've liked this game when I've seen him when he was with Minnesota.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I didn't know as much about his game as I probably should have, but I ran some numbers when they signed him. And of the 354 players who played at least 40 games last season, mm-hmm. his defensive rating of 100.1 ranked first. Mm. So he was one of, if not the most impactful defenders in the league last year. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, the second ranked player was Alex Len. So it's when you're looking at backup point guards or backup centers, I know James Hamm was saying this too. You want someone who's going to be impactful in a small amount of minutes. He played 11 minutes per game last year, but clearly had an impact when he was on the court. Shot 47.2% from three, which is phenomenal. That was a career year for him by far. So I don't know if he'll be up in that range again, but if he can be around like 38 to 40 even, mm-hmm. I'd take that. And just someone, 1.2 deflections per 11 minutes, which is an incredible rate, and just someone who's going to play hard. I think play a little bit bigger. He's 6 foot, but I just looking at the numbers and it feels like he plays bigger than that. So I really like it. It made more sense after the Devin Carter injury was announced and the surgery, but I'm cool with Jordan McLaughlin being the backup point guard going into the season. I wouldn't hate them bringing in another guard, just to kind of shore up that position. But at the same time, you have Monk, who I think could be a de facto point guard if needed. And
Kennedy said, look, we're not done. We need more. Yeah, we need more.
I almost threw this graphic out. Kyle Lowry is still a free agent. Be interesting to reunite him and DeRozan.
That would be interesting. I think Kyle Lowry's cooked, but you know, backup point guard or third, fourth guard. You never know. I really want to take a deeper look this summer and possibly in the preseason at Mason Jones and Boogie Ellis.
Yeah.
You know, those two guys. I know Boogie's not a point guard, but, you know, I thought he was a skilled player, good athlete, NBA athlete on the college level. And Mason Jones, he just looks like a guy that it doesn't matter what his game looks like, what he looks like physically. You put him on a basketball court, he's doing work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at some point, you keep doing that enough, you need to get a look with the big team. And I wouldn't mind seeing Mason Jones get a real serious look at being on the big squad.
Yeah, he fits exactly what they need. Another wing, 6'7" wingspan, who Monty's had this track record. It didn't quite work out with Kessler Edwards, but of looking for guys who can come in and make a big impact on small contracts. And that's especially in this new apron of the NBA. Those guys are going to be so huge. Like Keon Ellis has one of the best contracts in the league right now. And if Mason Jones works out where he can even just be a rotational player, like we don't need him to be a starter. Just can you come in, give 15 minutes? And I loved what he's done in Summer League so far. His body transformation is incredible. And just great energy, great vibes guy. We all saw it last year, him jumping around on the bench.
Absolutely.
Like, I love Mason Jones. I think that I'm really interested. He's the one I'll be watching probably the most other than the new rookies on the Summer League team.
Yeah. I like I said, I just look at Mason Jones. You watch him play. You watch the production, you watch the numbers, And at some point, I feel like he deserves a shot. He deserves a real shot. Mm-hmm. Like everywhere he goes, whether it's college, G League, Summer League now, he produces at a high level. And that's not a coincidence. After a while, that's kind of that's who you are. Not saying he'd go into the NBA and get a triple-double or anything like that. But, I think he deserves a look. I would definitely be intrigued by the possibility of Mason Jones being on this squad, man. What you got? What are you looking at for the rest of Summer League, man? I know you talked about some of the rookies or anything else like that, but you know, do you think it's just purely G League Stockton Kings players, or are there any guys that you think might be able to get to the big club?
I don't know. I feel like it's either going to be like the names that we already know that would have the chance, like Jordan Ford or Mason Jones. But you never know. It's just fun to watch these guys play because it's players that I don't know very well. So I don't know. And just at the same time, just enjoying ball. Yeah. Like we just like to have it on in the house.
Yeah.
And we'll take whatever we can get in terms of basketball.
It's like the Lego movie right now in Sacramento. Everything is awesome. Mm-hmm. Everything is just great. We got DeMar DeRozan. We feeling good about this franchise. We watching carefree right now when it comes to the Kings. You're gonna rerun that list of, you know, potential trade targets here with the talk of Monty not being done. You gotta let the people know we got some options out there. We got some options.
I should revamp it. I'll do another article. Maybe this week I'll get that out. But I need to revamp it for sure now that a lot more is clear.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Will, man, it's always good talking to you, man. I appreciate you taking some time out, being flexible with your schedule like we talked about, man.
Yeah,
thank
you,
bro.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, as always.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Will Z Stats. Go follow him. Go to the website. Go check him out, man. Shout out to my man, Will Z. Oh, there we go. Kennedy, what up? Hey, what up, Kennedy? What's going on? Who you got there? Oh, that's not Bluey. That's Bluey's who is that
Bingo.
One?
Bingo. Bingo. We're a big Bluey household.
Yeah.
Everyone should watch it.
No, Bluey's a great show. It is a very funny show. Shout out to Bluey, Bingo, and the whole crew. And shout out to Kennedy here on D-Lo and KC.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.